Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. We've got Jared Cassidy behind the glass, as always. And it is a very special day today because I have a guest co-host, one of my very good friends, Junie Riddle, football enthusiast. Junie, thanks for joining us this Saturday morning.
It's always a pleasure to get on the airways with you, Michelle.
Listen, Junie and I have hosted a couple times. We've got a podcast. We talk lots of football, Hail Marys, and hot takes. So I can guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of fun football talk this morning. And we've got a lot to cover today. We are live from 9 to 10 a.m. this morning on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are in the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and we are also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Before we get into things this morning, before we give you your morning brew, before we get into the rundown of the show, need to give a big thank you because today is the first day where we have a presenting sponsor of the Michelle Knezovic Show, Superbook Sports. And you know, at the end of every show, we like to give our football picks of the day. So we will be using all the lines from Superbook Sports. Really excited to be partnering with them and for them to be the presenting sponsor of the Michelle Knezovic Show. And who doesn't love a little betting? Who doesn't love a little winning some money? I know Junie's got some locks. Jared definitely's got some picks, and I've got some picks myself. So we will be doing that at 9:45 today. But if you listen to the Michelle Knezovic Show every Saturday from 9 to 10, you know how we like to start off the show. Junie, welcome to the morning brew. I try to explain this to Junie. We grab our coffee, sit down, relax. We're going to go through the headlines of the day. I'm going to give my headlines. I'm going to ask Junie if he's got any too. And then we're going to get right into some NFL talk today, June. Big, big matchup for the Tennessee Titans coming up this Monday. Get a little Monday Night Football action in Buffalo, New York. But first, starting off, first headline. Titans start off the season 0-1, right? Very disappointing loss in Nissan Stadium. And then back to practice this week. It was a pretty big upset, especially from covering training camp, you know, all season. The Giants are the Giants. And pretty disappointing for Tennessee fans out there. So Titans start off 0-1. And then this week, there was some limited practice from guys like Kyle Phillips, Dontrell Hilliard, Christian Fulton. Huge young guys who are going to play an intricate role into this Tennessee offense and defense this year. Jared, Josh Heupel, you got a raise this week, right? $1 million raise. He is going to be annually getting $5 million a year. That's 11th in the SEC. As a Tennessee fan, does that make you a little nervous? Because we have seen former Tennessee coaches get raises like this, and you all know the story.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on in Rocky Top, but I mean, giving him some money, that's great, but I mean, I don't know where to come from. Why now? Why not before the season, or why not wait till after the season? If you really want to give him a contract extension, then just do it in a little bit larger and give him some more years if you're going to do it then. Like, I just don't really see the advantage. Like, you have him locked up. He's not going anywhere.
Well, do you think it has something to do with, you know, Tennessee getting their first road victory over a top 25 opponent since, what, 2006, 2007? I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, that's a huge win for a Tennessee program that has a lot of expectations this year. And you go into Pittsburgh, and, I mean, we know their kind of injury report that they had during that game. They, you know, Kenan Slovis and a few of their defensive linemen were out, which kind of changed the tide for Tennessee. But still a huge road game for them, and maybe they're just kind of showing the praises for Josh Heupel and getting that done.
I agree. I do think I do lean a little bit more on the side of they kind of stole one from Pittsburgh. I'll be honest.
Their backup quarterback towards the end was really limped in there.
I mean, I just told you just before we came on air, I was watching it with some friends of the Kentucky-Florida game. They were obviously watching that. I was watching it on my phone and being completely involved in that, but I mean, they did, and that's huge. Obviously, the Tennessee program is going in an upward trajectory, which has not been the case in the last handful to 10 years. Let's put it all in that spectrum. I mean, even the Lane Kiffin, I mean, you know, he bounced. It's time to move on.
He said, peace, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean, hey, California weather opposed to Knoxville. Both nice, but opposite ends of the spectrum, so.
Well, and reports came out that this has been something that Tennessee has been working on with Josh Heupel since the end of last season. So that's also something to keep in mind, that it's been in the works, right? You get the win at Pittsburgh, but you guys have a huge game coming up next Saturday. Junie and I were talking this morning. Not too many high-profile college football games today, but next week we're really, really gearing up for some big SEC matchups. Obviously, you've got Florida coming into Neyland Stadium. That has always been a huge rivalry, right? Josh Heupel just gets this raise, and now you've got a huge game coming up next Saturday. Couple games that we're looking out for this Saturday, Junie and I were talking about earlier. Miami, Texas A&M. We saw Texas A&M lose to App State. Shout out App State. They got College Game Day there today. I just think that's absolutely incredible. I saw a video, Junie, and 12 hours before College Game Day even started, their campus is insane. Students are everywhere. And you love to see a small college get an opportunity like this.
So when Appalachian State got that upset, I was kind of comparing it to, you know, my alma mater, Western Kentucky. And I actually looked at the population between Boone, North Carolina and Bowling Green, Kentucky. And Bowling Green, Kentucky is actually three times larger than Boone, North Carolina. The fact that they got such a big win over Texas A&M, and I mean, we know the hype with Jimbo Fisher and having the number one recruiting class come in, all the expectations, and then that video that was surfacing about Texas A&M and that I guess it was a pep rally before the game, and they were kind of you know, really talking down to Appalachian State, kind of calling them some hicks, saying they're uneducated. Yeah, like, dude. I'm rooting. Listen, I was all for Appalachian State getting it, and for all means and purposes, Texas A&M can lose the rest of the season, and I would not mind whatsoever.
Agreed.
Well,
and
they can't stand them after that.
They have a tough Miami team coming in their stadium today. Texas A&M is a 6.5-point favorite, which I was like a little shocked about. And you know, if you're an Aggies fan. Jimbo Fisher, I'm sure there are some heat. I need to get on some message boards of like Texas A&M fans because I'm sure there's some heat coming Jimbo's way. And we actually had David Ubbin on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday, Friday, and he is a national college football writer. And he said that they don't know the exact number, but the buyout for Jimbo Fisher, let me get your guesses. What do you think it is, Jared?
Ooh, I don't know. $62 million.
Okay, Junie?
I was going in the $80 million range.
About $94 million. That is insane.
Well, we had just talked about Josh Heupel and him getting, like, what, $1 million extension?
Yeah.
This offseason, Texas A&M gave Jimbo a huge amounts raise for doing absolutely nothing. I guess it was just for the Alabama win last year. But, I mean, you pull in the number one recruiting class and you go and lose to Appalachian State, that's definitely going to hurt. And I guess some of these top recruits are going to have to look at that NIL money and be like, yeah, maybe it's not worth it to go to College Station down there.
I mean, you paid to lose to them. Like,
yes, they paid
them.
That's
terrible.
So that, and then addition to the Marshall win over Notre Dame, they did two comparisons. One of them paid $1.4 million for, say, Appalachian State to come into Texas A&M. And then Marshall, Notre Dame, I think it was $1.25 million. Another program, Marcus Freeman, starting off 0-2, right? He's got another game against Cal today. If you're a Notre Dame fan as well, a program with a new head coach starting 0-3, if they lose to Cal, that's another big one that you got to look out for. But I definitely know that the 12th man is not going to be happy if this is a close game with Miami today. But listen, really quick, we're going to get to this later in the show, our bets. But I'm taking Miami plus the 6.5, right? It is rocky down there.
See, give me Texas A&M. I always like a team that comes off
a
bad loss.
Game.
I definitely think they're going to try and make a statement. And I get that Miami's ranked 13th right now. I just don't necessarily think that Miami's going to be finishing in that area. You know, with these ACC teams, and especially like a program like Miami, similar to a Notre Dame, they always get a little bit overhyped just off their brand. I think Miami might be that because I just really don't see a lot of good teams coming out of the ACC this year.
Yeah, I think their name does a lot for them just in that. But Mario Cristobal is kind of the screw end of this whole thing, though. I kind of like what he's doing down in Miami. I don't know. Like I said, I told you earlier, Junior, I mean, I've always liked Oregon the way that they played. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of adapted that Oregon system to Miami, and that's huge. I mean, that's something that they haven't had in years, and that's competing for, you know, a chance at something. that's, you know, other than just a regular bowl game.
Well, in the last two games for Miami, I know not against tough opponents, but 100 points combined, 70 and then 30 in the last game. Miami's coming in at Texas A&M. But speaking of another team coming off a bad loss, the Tennessee Titans right here in Nashville. Tough loss to the Giants week one. And it was a game that was, I know this sounds cliche, but a tale of two halves. The Titans score on the first drive of the game. They're up 13-0 at half. And then in the second half, came out really flat. Saquon Barkley got going for the Giants and ended up losing on a field goal. So this is a huge week. This is a huge weekend because it's a Monday night football game for this Tennessee Titans team. We knew there was a lot of questions about this team, what this offense would look like with the trade of A.J. Brown. Can they be explosive? What are these rookies going to show? Will Treylon Burks live up to that first round pick? Can they have an offense? Can they come together and win the division again? Probably one of the worst divisions in the NFL.
I would say from what I saw week one, this is no doubt the worst division. I mean, when you have two teams in the same division playing each other and you come out with no
zero wins
in the division, no one got a win. Nobody. Not even the Colts couldn't pull it out in Houston. So the entire AFC South is winless. So it just kind of goes to show you, yeah, the Titans still took a tough loss, but they're still going to be in the mix. But, you know, we're going to get to it a little bit later. They got a lot to improve on after week one.
The AFC South starting tied for first place with the Texans and the Colts 0-0-1, and then the Jags and the Tennessee Titans 0-1. We have our keys to victory for the Tennessee Titans coming up on Monday Night Football with the Buffalo Bills. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in second segment of the Michelle Knezevic Show this morning. If you're just tuning in, we've got guest host Junie Riddle with me this morning. We got Jared Cassidy, as always, behind the glass, spinning some tunes.
Hey, guys.
giving us some nice music, hyping us up on this football Saturday. Guys, I drove in this morning and I asked my Alexa what the weather is today, and it said, you know, 67 degrees, and I was like, yes, a brisk fall morning. I got my pumpkin coffee. We got a full slate of football today, NFL, week two tomorrow. It is just great. I think fall is just, it's just the best time of year.
It is the best time of year, and it's finally that time where, like you said, the temperature goes down, especially here in Middle Tennessee, with
yes.
the humidity and how hot it can get. It's finally over. I feel like I can walk outside mm-hmm. and not fear the sweat monster come out because the sweatpants and sweatshirt season is coming upon us.
Yes, sir. Shout out Music City Betts. It is now officially hoodies and shorts season, my man. So let's go.
We love that, and we were talking on Robbie and Rexford earlier this week on what is your perfect NFL Sunday setup, and mine is like, oh, I'm wearing the biggest sweatpants, the biggest hoodie, friends over, bring your own food, everything. Listen, crack the window a little, get the fall air. We love it. But listen, up in my hometown, it's already like pretty cold, pretty fall up there, and the Titans are going to experience that even colder when they head up to Buffalo on Monday. We teased this a little bit before the break. And if you have any suggestions, weigh in on the conversation. Text us, call us, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our game text line, phone line. We love having your interaction with us and letting us know what you guys think as fans, what you want to see from this team heading into Monday. I mean, I know a heavy storyline with this Tennessee team, especially coming off last year and all the injuries and right, Derrick Henry getting hurt, and then they go to L.A., and they beat the Rams, and they lose to the Jets, but then they beat the Bills, and it was this playing to their competition, right? They would play these lower-level NFL teams, and don't get me wrong, these are all NFL teams, and we know that anything can happen any week, but then seeing this Tennessee team flip it and then be able to beat these, I mean, the Rams were the Super Bowl, or the title winners, right?
And that was the first game without Derrick Henry. I mean, that was coming off that overtime win with the Colts, which was a tough battle for them. And a lot of people thought they were going to be sleeping with going all the way out to L.A. to play the Rams on a primetime game. But, I mean, they definitely stepped up. That defense stepped up. And if they're going to want to have a chance in Buffalo, this defense is going to have to do a 180 than what they put on tape in the second half against the New York Giants.
So, Junie, I am going to give you my three things for this team that did not go well week one that absolutely need to change come Monday, mm-hmm. and then I want to hear your three things.
You got it.
The run defense. This is something that this team wins games off of. Last year, there was some crazy stat where they only let – or they didn't let a team rush for over 100 yards, and that's a team against them. Listen, I know, though, they have lost some pieces. So that is one thing that needs to be changed and I think is possible to be changed because we saw it in the first half. But then the second half, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they got comfortable, but that is something that needs to be prioritized. Secondly, you got to get Robert Woods and Austin Hooper more involved. Those are two guys that you went out and got this offseason, and they need to be playmakers, point blank, especially Austin Hooper.
They have to be, and especially as much money as those two guys are getting to be on this team, they definitely need to show up and show out. I mean, the Titans went from a team that really relied on A.J. Brown, and this offseason they went out and got a much more – they got more weapons, so they're more spread out with the talent. But, I mean, what is that if you can't give those guys the ball?
We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio this morning. We're also streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, giving our three things that we think need to be changed for this Tennessee team heading into week two. And my third thing, gotta get rid of the penalties. Right? Couple false starts that really killed them towards the end of the game. And then the momentum flipped. The momentum flipped to the Giants. Saquon Barkley got a couple big breakaways. But if you look at this game, what was the deciding factor in winning and losing was those couple X plays from the Giants. And that cannot happen. Derrick Henry's got to get going. I mean, he had a fine game, and we know that he starts. I think I just gave you four, but that's okay.
That was gonna be my number one was Derrick Henry. You know, I was talking to a few Titans fans after this game, and I had made this comment. I was like, listen, I think Ryan Tannehill actually had a pretty solid game.
And he did.
He looked pretty good. And I said, if anybody didn't look as good, it's Derrick Henry. And they were like, what? Derrick Henry? Like, Derrick Henry had a decent game. I was like, No, he did not. We're talking about Derrick Henry, the guy that rushed for 2,000 yards, the guy that is supposed to be the biggest playmaker on this team. And when he's only rushing for 3.9 yards a carry, if he's not at minimum 4 yards a carry, then that's a problem. He didn't look as explosive. He didn't look as physical. And honestly, at times, I felt like he didn't take advantage of this offensive line, who was my biggest concern going into this season. They actually had some pretty good run blocking against the New York Giants, who was ranked 25th in rush defense last year. This was how you were supposed to win this game, by dominating on the ground. And when your passing game looks better than your running game, although some of your best pass catchers didn't get the ball, mm-hmm. that is why the Titans didn't put up great numbers offensively. It starts and ends with Derrick Henry. The pass game comes second, and if you flip and reverse that, almost any team in this league can take advantage and get a win on you.
Well, and I think the ironic part about this game was the Giants beat you at your own game, right? The way the Giants won with Saquon Barkley, that is the way this Tennessee Titans culture and team wins. You are a run-based team. But you got Ryan Tannehill, who was very efficient in the first game. Mike Vrabel this week was very high on the rookies. Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks. I know Treylon not as much as Kyle Phillips, but Kyle Phillips was a game changer. I mean, the reason that Tennessee was in it at the end of the game was because Tannehill to Phillips, 1-2-3 to get in field goal range. And to see that from a rookie, I mean, that is very promising. Kyle Phillips is a guy that I think he's going to play another huge role. I don't think, though, he's your number one receiver, right? You need
he
Robert.
Be. He can't be.
You need Robert Woods to be your number. you need Austin Hooper too. Like, I almost think more Austin Hooper than Robert Woods because you have more options. But I mean, Mike Vrabel came out and said this week, Jeff Swaim's our number one blocking tight end. And we know how he feels about blocking and receiver blocking and tight end blocking. I mean, that I think was my biggest surprise. I remember sitting in the press box during this game and looked at Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360 and does some stuff with us on the game here. And I looked at him and I said, does Hooper have any targets?
And probably at the time he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Which is a huge shock because what we've seen from Ryan Tannehill throughout his career is that he's always relied on the tight end. And it seemed as if the rookie Kyle Phillips, who plays in the slot, and yes, his job is supposed to go over the middle and make tough contested catches, but that also needs to be your tight end. And the fact that Phillips, a rookie six-round pick, is getting more looks and more targets and more catches over the middle than your big-studded tight end, who you're paying a lot of money to, who was supposed to be a difference maker for this offense, is not a good look. And listen, I was high on Austin Hooper when they went out and picked him up when Cleveland released him. He was really, really good in Atlanta. He was one of the best tight ends that season, his last season that he was there. I believe that was 2019. He goes to Cleveland, and Cleveland just has a slew of offensive talent with Odell Beckham, Landry. They already had Njoku at tight end. And on top of that, they already have probably the best 1-2 running back combo, and they like to run the ball. So he kind of got a tough break in Cleveland. So I figured coming here, and with as much as Ryan Tannehill, again, likes to use the tight end, he is supposed to be a threat in this offense. And let me tell you, it would not surprise me if he has about 6 or 7 catches in this game against Buffalo because, listen, we saw it in training camp. Ryan Tannehill is going to give him the ball. I can't tell you how many times in the 2-minute drill in those in practice that I would see he is a go-to guy, and he will be a go-to guy.
And you can already see, I mean, the chemistry from OTAs till the end of training camp. I mean, they looked comfortable. They would work together. I thought he was going to have the most targets heading into this game. Quickly, though, heading to the injury report, a couple notable guys, actually a bunch of notable guys that did not practice or were limited participation this Friday for the Tennessee Titans. Christian Fulton did not practice. Dontrell Hilliard did not practice. Kyle Phillips, limited participation. Ola Adeniyi, limited. Ben Jones, full practice. Jamarco Jones didn't. Taylor Lewan, full practice. Dylan Radins, limited participation. Lonnie Johnson, full practice. Nate Davis did not practice. So all of those names are prominent players for this team, other than a Dylan Radins, who's a backup, and Jamarco Jones. So that's really concerning.
And out of all those names, Kyle Phillips, what he showed in week one, but I mean, Nate Davis. Davis, probably your best guard on this team. He'd probably be your second or third best offensive lineman in general. Losing him in a game like this with Buffalo would be huge because we saw what Buffalo did to the Rams on opening night. 7 sacks. I mean, Von Miller looked like Von Miller from 2015 when he won Super Bowl MVP. He finally seems like he's healthy and motivated now that he's out of Denver in a losing situation. It's going to be really scary for this team. I really hope that Nicholas Petit-Frere and also Taylor Lewan, who did not have his best game against the New York Giants, are going to have tough sledding against this front in Buffalo.
Tennessee has to head up to the Northeast this Monday to face the hottest team in the NFL right now. What does Buffalo have to do to go 2-0 heading into this NFL season? Up next, you're listening to the Michelle Knezovic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, man, Josh is, you know, he's a stud, body control, you know, he's bouncing guys off, stepping on people, still in the same caliber thing, type of player, man, you know, big body, you know, you got to be able to really wrap him up, any arm type of really not going to work against him.
Do you find yourself, like, I know you don't completely change your rush, but like, do you have to have extra things in mind when you're rushing against them?
Definitely. You definitely got to have a plan. You got to have, rules. Everyone got to be a cohesive unit together. You can't just let them escape each and every hole because he'll make people pay. And then, like I said, once he gets to the second level, he's not looking to slide. He'll actually try to juke guys and run guys over. you know, he's a big, because he's a big body, you got to count that in as well, that he will and is capable of getting HDR.
Now, when you were at Pittsburgh, it seemed like you guys back then, like any type of muddy situation, so when you rose to the occasion,
yeah.
It's kind of carried over to here. Is that something that you've seen with this team, this locker room, how like the dirtier it gets, the more exciting it is for you?
For sure, man. Adversity, knowing how to have adversity coming in, you know, looking adversity dead in the face, taking it, you know, with a grain of salt and going out there and conforming. When the back's against the wall, everybody counting against you, you know, you want to go out there and continue to fight. You get in the corner, you'll come out swinging.
Perfect.
That was an interview with Teron Davenport and Bud Dupree earlier this week. Bud Dupree speaking on Josh Allen, even comparing him to Ben Roethlisberger. And of course I had to play that clip coming in because Junie and I are quite the Pittsburgh fans. Junie a little bit more than I. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, guest co-hosting with me today, Junie Riddle. We got Jared Cassidy. As always, I thought that was a really interesting interview between Teron Davenport and Bud Dupree earlier this week. And, you know, speaking on Josh Allen and the type of quarterback he is, right now we're seeing kind of that, you know, I don't want to say closing the door of the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Breeze, right? Peyton Manning even, right? That era of quarterbacks, and obviously some of them are playing, but right, we're kind of seeing the page turn and we've got the Herberts and the Burrows and the Mahomes and the Josh Allens right now. And Josh Allen, you and I were talking during the break, right? He's really compared to a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. He is a quarterback who wants to run. We saw him with the stiff arm the other day. And coming into the league, Joe Rexrod made a good point on this the other day. He was like, I was so wrong about Josh Allen when he came into this league. I thought maybe gain a couple pounds, be a tight end out there. But we really have seen, I think what really solidified Josh Allen in a lot of people's eyes was that playoff game last year against the Chiefs.
See, with Josh Allen, I was in the same boat as Joe Rexrod. He came in the league in 2018, and I mean, you heard it from Jalen Ramsey back when Jalen Ramsey was in his prime. He was like, I don't know why Buffalo would make that pick. You know, this kid was coming out of Wyoming. He didn't even have a
JUCO kid.
He didn't complete 60% of his passes in college when he was at Wyoming. I mean, he was just one of those guys that had a lot of natural raw talent, and it kind of goes to show you that, like, hey, you know, nowadays a lot of teams are kind of pushing their quarterbacks to go out there and start and not really giving them a chance. Buffalo gave this kid a chance. I mean, 2018, mm-hmm. he looked awful. He comes in again in 2019, not looking that great, kind of, you know, took him to the playoffs in 2019 that year, but it was really kind of more on that defense and the running game as well. He just used his athleticism. But then in 2020 and 2021, you really start to see the progression. You see the arm talent that he has and the accuracy that he's honed in on, and you put that together with his running capability, his natural size. He's just become a force to reckon with in this league, and has become, I think, easily a top five quarterback and probably the lead candidate for MVP this year.
I mean, if things are going the way they started off for this team and how they ended last year, right, I completely agree with that statement. Obviously, you've got Rodgers probably always in the conversation for that. You got Mahomes, but Josh Allen. And one of the big questions this week to a lot of the Tennessee players was, how do you go about stopping this guy? How do you go about affecting the quarterback? And something that's going to be so incredibly important is a guy like Bud Dupree, is a guy like Jeffrey Simmons. He's going to be facing Roger Saffold.
Cannot wait for that.
That is going to be a huge matchup. We've seen those two kind of go against each other in practice when Saffold was here in Tennessee. And Jeffrey Simmons spoke to that this week and just said, well, practice mode is practice mode, right? Right. If you're going against your team, I mean, you're not going to go full game mode, right? You're not trying to hurt one of your own teammates. But I mean, Jeffrey Simmons seemed very locked in. I think that he's always going to be an important player for this team. But Bud Dupree, even more, especially with the loss of Harold Landry. And I need to find the stat right now, but it's a very interesting stat on Bud Dupree on his quickness on how fast he's been. And it was a stat in Pittsburgh, it was like 0.72. Then last year it dropped, right, coming off the injury of a 0.82, so going up slower. And then in that first game was like a 0.62. So surpassing even his speed when he was in Pittsburgh. Also, Bud Dupree went to a great college known as the University of Kentucky. I had to just slip that in there real quick, June.
No, and the last thing is, I remember when Bud Dupree played for Kentucky and he came out. It took him a couple years to develop, but I mean, that raw athleticism and his size, I mean, you just can't teach that. And mm-hmm. it took him a few years to come along in the league. But, you know, starting off in like 2019 and 2020 when he was still playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, he became a legit edge rusher, getting 10 plus sacks. And in that 2020 season, when the Steelers started off 11-0, mm-hmm. I mean, he got injured in that last game that they won to go 11-0 against the Ravens. And after that, the Steelers' defense just wasn't the same because they didn't have that 1-2 punch coming at you off the edge, because that was the difference for that defense. But yeah, now that Bud Dupree's healthy, I mean, he's going to be a huge, and I mean a huge part of this game, because part of slowing down this Buffalo Bills offense is going to be containing Josh Allen. Not necessarily what they're used to, because normally a guy like Bud Dupree can just rush the quarterback. Like, he's going to go in blue blazing, but you have to play this strategically when you're going up against a guy like Josh Allen. I always like to see it when Bud Dupree's rushing, using that right arm to kind of push and hold that tackle there, and he's going to have to literally kind of stay home mm-hmm. and hold Josh Allen, make him stay in the pocket, because once he starts to roll out and he gets outside of you, or he ducks under you because you've gone too far on the edge, that's when he's going to create big plays. That's when guys like Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs are going to create separation with the corners and create huge plays against this defense. This defense has to stay home. Jeffrey Simmons has to win that matchup with Roger Saffold
to
clog up the middle. If you can clog up the middle and set the edge, that is going to be the key for this Titans defense to keep them in this game on Monday night.
Well, and on the flip side, Junie, you got Von Miller coming after Ryan Tannehill, and an O-line that has had big question marks on it for this Tennessee team. We mentioned the injury report in the last segment. Nate Davis with a knee and did not practice. That is very, very concerning. You've got a rookie at right tackle and Nicholas Petit-Frere going up a guy, a Hall of Fame eventually guy, Von Miller. One of the best.
And they got Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones there mm-hmm. on that defensive line. I mean, that Bills front seven is really good. They got a really good middle linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, this guy is absolutely huge. He's a stud. He's a stud. So, I mean, this front seven for Buffalo is going to be huge. Nicholas Petit-Frere, I mean, he's going to be the X factor on this offense. He's a rookie. He's been thrown into the mix because Dylan Raiden's couldn't live up to what the Titans expected him to be this season. So this guy has really got to step up and play, and especially with, you know, Buffalo playing on opening night Thursday. I mean, they're coming off some extra rest. So this offensive line has to step up, or Ryan Tannehill isn't going to get anything going.
Well, and I will say that was one of the things I was looking at during the Giants game, and this Buffalo defense is significantly better than that Giants defense.
Very
especially
much so.
With some significant guys being out for the Giants, that would have affected Ryan Tannehill and would have put a little bit more pressure on this offensive line. But it looked good, right? Ryan Tannehill didn't get sacked at all in the game, but this is a huge step up heading into week two. I remember saying last week on the show, right, Nicholas Petit-Frere just needs to do his job week one. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about trying to overcompensate. Just do your job. And on the flip side, Taylor Lewan needs to have a big game. He didn't play particularly well last week, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah. And two more guys that need to have big games, especially if Christian Fulton is not mm-hmm. as going to be Roger McCreary in first-round pick from last year, Caleb Farley. I mean, they're going to have their hands full with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. These two receivers can make big plays in an instant and just cause havoc. We saw it with Gabe Davis. I mean, he had four touchdowns in that playoff game last year against the Chiefs, and what do you know? He's the first guy to score on opening night against the Rams. These guys are really dynamic receivers. receivers. And like I said, it's going to take the entire defense, containing Josh Allen, keeping him in the pocket, going up the middle with Jeff Simmons, stuffing that interior of the Bills' offensive line. But these corners have got to have their best game. But most importantly, if the Titans are going to want any kind of chance in this game, it's got to be Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has to have a Derrick Henry game. They will not win this game. I don't care how well the defense plays. I don't care how well Ryan Tannehill is. If he doesn't throw any picks at all, it's not going to matter. Derrick Henry has to be the difference. He's got to get at least 130 to 150 yards and a touchdown or two in order to keep them in this game. Because with this Bills pass rush and this defense, mm-hmm. and the way that they're going to control the line of scrimmage, that's the one X factor that can keep the Bills at bay is Derrick Henry.
Well, and they got to block better for him too. Because Derrick Henry can only run through so many guys and have the entire team jump on top of him. They have to do better for him as well. I think it's going to be a combination between those two. I know we can put a lot on Derrick Henry's shoulders, speaking about this Tennessee team, but Junior, you're right. He needs to have a couple big breakaways, and they were close to a couple in this game, but not close enough. I think the silver lining from this, and I know we don't pay too much attention to PFF grades, but, you know, some of the top rookies, Drake London had a 94%, then the next three, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, and Roger McCreary. So very, very promising from these rookies. Mike Vrabel spoke on how impressed he was with these rookies taking on such big roles so early in the season, and that's going to have to translate to next week. Coming up, though, it is time to make some money, everyone. We are giving you our picks for the weekend. College football, NFL, and of course we're using our favorite Superbook sports lines. You're listening to the Michelle Knezovic Show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in first mute of the day to the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle's joining me on this Saturday. We got Jared Cassidy as well. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time to pick some winners. We're checking out Superbook Sports for all of our lines today. They're going to be the presenting sponsor of the Michelle Knezovic Show. So, of course, it is time to pick some winners. Guys, basically what we'll do round robin, kind of how we do every Saturday morning. And then coming up after our show, you've got Southeastern Carolines with Caroline Fenton. 1 hour show. She'll go deeper into all of these lines, which games she likes. We'll give you our locks. She'll give you her locks. We're handing off the baton to her after this show. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. If you have any picks, text us in 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Okay, guys. Starting off first, we'll start here in state to Vanderbilt, right down the road. Vanderbilt is facing Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is favored by 2.5 points. Guys, I'll start with this one. I'm taking Vanderbilt plus the 2.5. I think this is going to be a must-win game for them because it's one of the ones on their schedule that they can actually win, right? We didn't see them win a game in the SEC last year, but they can get these non-conference games. If they can get a South Carolina, a Missouri, it's going to be looking up for that program. So give me Vanderbilt plus the 2.5. I also think that they're going to win outright on the money line. Junie, what are you thinking for this game?
Give me Vanderbilt as well. I think that they get this win. I don't know. Northern Illinois is definitely a tough place to play. They got a pretty good history, being a smaller school in college football. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think Vanderbilt knows that this is a win they need. Clark Lee and company, I think he's going to have the boys ready to go. And I think that they're trying to improve this program. And this is a win on their schedule that they really need. And I like Mike Wright at quarterback. I mean, he's a dual threat. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have a guy like that, when you're an SEC program, that you go in and you beat a team like this.
Jared?
Man, just hate going all chalk, but Vandy, definitely, I'll take Vandy. It's kind of a backs against the wall kind of scenario. Not necessarily full throttle, but they definitely need a win coming into some SEC play and stuff like that. I'll take Vandy with 2.5.
we were all Vandy on Robbie and Rexford on Friday, guys, so don't feel bad about it. Okay, switching over, heading to Knoxville, Tennessee, Akron. We've got Tennessee favored by 47.5. Huge line for this game. I picked on the Hawaii-Michigan game last week. Michigan was favored by 51.5, I think, or 52.5. And, I mean, at halftime it was 47-0, and I was like, yes. And then you put in your backups and everything, and they didn't quite get that for me. So I just think this line is too big. I think Tennessee's definitely going to dominate this game. But 47.5 points, that is a lot. So give me Akron and give me the points. Give me the 47.5. Junie?
Give me Tennessee.
They already
whooped up on another small school from Ohio. I see them doing again. I mean, listen, Hendon Hooker and company, they're going to want to put some good stuff on tape. I don't feel like they had their best game against Pittsburgh, and they're going to really want to show the Gators that they're ready for that next week matchup when they come to Neyland.
Okay, Mr. Tennessee.
The spread definitely scares me, the 47.5. That's a very high number for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for anybody. You know what? I will play this one a little different. I will take the over 67.5.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like that, Jared.
Not a bad pick. I'll take that too.
I would say I'll take that as well around the board.
Parlay it.
Okay, switching up to an SEC matchup, Mississippi State versus LSU. We got a little Tom Leach versus Brian Kelly. Mississippi State is favored by 3 points even. This is a tough one for me. Jeannie, I'll let you go first on this one.
Is it in Baton Rouge?
It's in Baton Rouge. Let me double check.
Because if it's in Baton Rouge, let me take LSU.
It is. It is in LSU.
It's in LSU.
Baton Rouge, basically LSU.
But yeah, no, I'm taking LSU. I mean, they need a big win, especially for this program after dropping that first game to Florida State, which I know that they were really embarrassed about. Give me LSU in their first SEC matchup with Kelly at the helm.
Jared?
I will take the Fighting Caroline Fentons as well.
Listen, I got faith in Mike Leach. I think that they win this game by about three or more. So give me Mississippi State for this one. Okay, switching to another big matchup of the day. If I can find the line really quick, we've got Auburn versus Penn State, a little Big Ten SEC matchup. Junie, do you happen to have the line written down?
Yes, Penn State is a 2.5 road favorite against Auburn. But I'm going with Auburn.
Me too.
War Eagle, baby. I think they're gonna get it. I don't have faith in Penn State. Penn State always starts out hot. I didn't really like their game that much week one against Purdue. I thought that defense had some lapses, and I think that Auburn being at home, I think that's gonna give them the edge, and they're gonna cover. I'll put it this way: if Auburn was favored by 3.5 or more, I would probably go with Penn State. But I just think it's gonna be a really, really tight game, and I think Auburn comes up with the slim victory, maybe a last second field goal on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also want to say that this is one of my favorite college football matchups. I don't know why, but whenever they play each other, and it's not very often, but it just seems like when Penn State and the SEC play people, such a cool game to watch. I'll definitely take Auburn.
And then we've also got South Carolina versus Georgia. Georgia's favored by 24.5 over South Carolina. I don't have faith in Spencer Rattler. Also, Stetson Bennett looked absolutely phenomenal, has looked absolutely phenomenal so far this season. It doesn't matter that Georgia had 15 players head into the NFL. They are this type of program now where Kirby Smart can recruit and have these younger guys just fill right into these positions. Give me Georgia. I think they're going to cover this spread easily.
You could have given Georgia 40 points in this game, and I still would have taken Georgia. I think Georgia's just that dominant. I don't think South Carolina is a good team at all. Spencer Rattler, I mean, he was supposed to be a top pick as a quarterback in last year's NFL draft, ends up having to transfer. I just don't see it with this team, and I think Georgia is just so dominant, and especially after what they did to Oregon week one, I think they're going to roll over South Carolina.
Yeah, I agree. I would take Georgia in the spread, and I also like the over in that game. And as well as a programming note, you can hear this game coming up at 11 o'clock following Southeastern Carolina's on 102.5 The Game.
We love an early kickoff. Really quick, guys, let's give two NFL games. One of my locks of the week, I think this one is very, very easy, is the Pittsburgh Steelers +2.5 over the New England Patriots. The Patriots just flat out stink this year. Jared, I'm really sorry as you're shaking your head over there. Offensively, they cannot get anything going. And this Pittsburgh Steelers defense is very, very dominant. We just saw them, you know, defensively win that game over the Bengals. And yes, the Bengals came back, but this Pittsburgh.
Can I shock the world right now? Because I'm picking the Patriots in that game.
Okay, you are crazy.
Let's go.
No, I definitely. Listen, New England lost to Miami, which I think Miami's a much more talented team, but their defense only let up 13 points. With how offensively, limited the Steelers are, and especially with their defense losing TJ Watt, I feel like that takes a step back, and the Patriots are a little embarrassed after their week one loss. I think the Patriots take this game. The Steelers are going to be looking ahead to their Thursday night trip to Cleveland to try and get another divisional win on the road. So I think they overlook the Patriots this week, and the Patriots get a win.
Okay, well, I love to agree to disagree. And I guess, listen, never count Belichick out. Moving to my next one, Cincinnati Bengals -7 over the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys currently don't have a quarterback. Dak Prescott is out. I think the Cincinnati Bengals need to have a bounce back week, especially Joe Burrow throwing a couple picks in that Steelers game. So give me the Cincinnati Bengals -7. And then quickly, I'm taking the Tennessee Titans +10. I think that the Bills will outright win this game. I think it's a safe bet to say Bills on the money line, but I think about a touchdown. I don't think they win by 10 or more for this Tennessee team. And I would just like to say the line was at 9.5 yesterday, so that line is going up.
So I'm definitely going to smash the +10 on the Titans as well. I mean, regardless of if they win or not, I mean, Mike Vrabel is not going to let these guys go into Buffalo and get blown out. They have too much talent on this defense. Yep. This defense is supposed to be a top five unit, coming in. That was the expectations with the amount of talent that they have. I think that they step up and play a much more sound game, and it's going to be a lot closer. And even if the Bills do kind of take a big lead, I could definitely see a backdoor cover by the Titans in this game.
I agree. Mike Vrabel does not get blown out. Be very exciting. We will have you covered on Monday, previewing the Monday night matchup between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. Sending it over to Caroline Fenton right now for Southeastern Carolines. Hope you have a wonderful Saturday, Nashville. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. Have a great day, everybody. 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.